Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF since we last left you over the weekend. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Trader Danny has been busy at work. So he worked out a deal. They're switching all these second-round draft picks. It's all like, you know, just switching around nothings. So that the Celtics, in return, could get themselves a trade exception. We believe it's $28.5 million because that would be Gordon Hayward's first year's salary with Charlotte. So a lot of people are out there writing, and this is Scott McLaughlin on our own WEEI.com. With Gordon Hayward, sign and trade finalized. Danny Ainge is owed some apologies. Lou?
I tell you what, Scott, why don't we wait and see what it's used on, okay? Because I've gotten a lot of this over the weekend, too. Oh, I guess he didn't blow it. It's like the trade exception. Seriously, like we could joke around about like how many points and how many rebounds trade exceptions get a year. But what has he gotten back so far? So $28 million. Number one, because they signed Tristan Thompson to that 9.5, the exception that they traded him for, they got a hard cap at 136, correct? Actually, because 132 starts this tax or whatever it might be that they may not want to go over given the salaries that they have.
It's the tax ceiling, which yes. I believe is just under 139, 138, or
right.
Whatever, 8 or whatever.
So they actually can spend up to 22 of it.
Now.
Because
correct.
They can't go over.
Unless they unload some salary,
shouldn't we kind of wait and see like how he uses it?
Yeah.
Isn't he still sort of like show me what you're going to get in return? Because I don't know. You tell me. I mean, what kind of player are you looking at right now? You got Jeff Teague backing up your point guard. You got Tristan Thompson as a big. You need a wing player. Like everyone has these visions. Like, ooh, go get Paul George. Like, do you want Paul? Like, do you want what type of player do you want on this team? To go along with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Listen,
like, how's he going to spend it? Is he going to spend it for, like, a role player off the bench?
Well, he could use it with multiple players.
Or a role wing player?
He could use it with multiple players because you can break it down. They also have two other trade exceptions, one 4.7 and another one 2.3, and they're going to be minor
players.
Let me
ask you, how often do trade exceptions go unused?
A lot. A lot. Hold on, Lou. $28.5 million is not going to go unused.
No, it won't, but I'm going to see what it brings back.
So I would say this. That I'm with you that I'm not going to apologize or applaud Danny Ainge until I actually see the final results of this. But I think this is a pretty good move. It gives them an awful lot of flexibility. It allows them to maybe get that additional player in here. You know, if you're looking like at a Beal or somebody like that, you're close to that money. And all you have to be is within 100,000 of that. And you can unload players to be able to manipulate that. This is pretty good flexibility. All comes down to this, that I think there were a lot of Celtic fans that were much higher on Miles Turner than Danny Ainge was. He did not want Miles Turner. He might look at Miles Turner and look at him and say, you know what, the kid's an underachiever, and he's still young, and I don't want another young player in here. Then I'm dealing with another Rob Williams who might be a little bit more talented. He wanted to get Tristan Thompson because he wanted to get an experienced vet who's a good leader in the locker room. That's what he wanted. He did the same thing with Teague. He wanted experience. He wanted older players. He didn't want those guys. So he ended up, I think, doing okay. I say okay because you're right. We have to see the final results. He's got a lot of flexibility between now and a year from now, and this will be good for next year's draft and free agency period. They have a year window.
But you cannot, correct me if I'm wrong, this is not to be used for to sign free agents. Like if the guy is a free agent, you
can
somehow have to create another sign and trade.
Yes.
Right. So it's not just, I mean, listen, it's better than nothing. I think he keeps his head above water, and it's one of those, listen, he's not dead yet. So there's still options. But the crew that wants an apology, like for what? Well, you said he wasn't going to get anything. Well, he still doesn't have anything. So why would we sit there and pat him on the back for a job well done? What if he completely screws this up? I mean, that's not completely, outside of the realm of possibility.
It gives Celtics fans because it's all about, for them, it's all about hope. You know what I mean? And it's all about the unknown and the dream and everything else. But if he turns it into, say, a $9, $10 million player, role player, you'll sit there and say, okay, that's what you got back for Gordon Hayward. A $10, $12 million role player. You know, I was reading, like, Forsberg, and he was talking about, like, George Hill, you know, from Oklahoma State. If you need some help at point guard, he's at $9.6 million. Okay, George Hill for Gordon Hayward.
Well, you
do
would
I
break,
owe Danny an apology
no,
if it's
you would,
George Hill for Gordon Hayward?
No, but you would
yes,
break. You would break. Hold on.
You
would break the $28.5 million into numerous pieces.
Sure.
That's what he's saying. So you can get numerous
and
pieces.
And if you break $28.5 million into, say, three or four pieces, like, you tell me, what are you going for? Like,
listen,
a bunch of $9 million players, three of them. Like, where was it more big depth? Because you need a wing player. Right now, you have a huge hole that Gordon Hayward left. Sorry, but you do. And it isn't so much as Gordon Hayward is a Hall of Famer. It's what's behind Gordon Hayward. And I remember in the postseason saying, I never want to see Semi Ojeleye play again. And people were ripping on Gordon Hayward when he was coming back. And I was like, but isn't he an improvement over Ojeleye? Like, the guy, you don't want him on the court. You want him on the court for about 6 minutes of defense, maybe eight, you know, a couple different occasions. That's about it. That's the backup right now. That's what you have. So he's got to use some of it,
listen,
and go to try to find a veteran wing player, doesn't he?
I can understand why you would not get euphoric about this, or you would sit and offer an apology. On the other hand, this is more than hope. This gives them now bookkeeping to actually be able to do something down the road. They have not been able to do this. They were not in a position where they had any money. We said it time and time again. They can't do anything. They're handcuffed. This gives them now an opportunity to actually add an impact player somewhere down the road. Not going to be easy because you're right, you've got to maneuver. It also could put them into a position where two teams are trying to work out a deal and they step in and they're the third party that make it operate and they end up stealing a player from one of those two teams. It gives Danny flexibility. I'm not going to knock this. This is a good move.
No, I don't think anybody's knocking
That's
it.
A good move.
The question has had to do with do you owe him an apology?
No.
Do you owe him?
Because you don't know what it is.
Okay, so no, because the whole discussion revolved around something's better than nothing, even if it's slight, even if it's because he's not staying, you weren't going to get anything. And I would say if what you're getting back is insignificant, I mean, what's the difference? I mean, what's the difference? So what if
well,
you
I think
something back, if it's not even usable?
But I think the problem is a lot of people think that Miles Turner is much better than Tristan Thompson. And I'm telling you, he's not. He's a different player. But he's not, and he's been an underachiever out there in Indiana, and you're paying an underachiever.
He's got more potential.
18, he does. Okay. Turner does right. For the upside.
Well, I'm just saying,
okay?
You keep
but
saying
it's 18,
that like,
$18 million a year for the next 3 years.
Where was all of this before they were picking him up? That's my point. Like, where was? Hey, crap on Miles Turner when it looked like the Packers were surrounded about Miles Turner. But that's what I'm saying. Like it was everybody was in on Miles Turner. You know, athletic big that pretty much has led the league in block shots, you know, who's athletic, who does pretty much what you're looking for.
No, not really.
And all of a sudden now it's like, well, he's really not that good. And when did $18 million become such a bad contract in the NBA?
Because it's 3 years.
So what?
You
have he's 25 years old. What, you don't think Brad can kind of bring out the ability? We don't have confidence that this kid with a ton of ability that's been, you know, maybe that effort's been questioned, that you don't think Brad Stevens can bring more out of him and actually be a steal at
$18
million?
No, because I think he's a more advanced Rob Williams. That's what he is right now. And to me, at 25, you have to be concerned. Why do you think Indiana went with Sabonis? And Sabonis was the guy that they utilized as opposed to Miles Turner. When they tried to play the two together, Turner was a fish out of water. So I think
they want to move on from him. But it fits your team better.
Listen, Tristan Thompson is a role player, but he is what they need. I hate to say it, he is what they need, and he was cheap. That is a cheap price to get that role player. He's a veteran, and I think they need a veteran because I think the mentality sometimes is a little bit immature with that lineup.
No, listen, I like the Tristan Thompson thing, but this, you know, if you pulled off a Miles Turner trade and used the 9.5 trade exception, maybe at that point to kind of fill in for a Gordon Hayward, then I think you're looking better for this year. And we'll see what the trade exception comes. And Miles Turner, I mean, Robert Williams is not Miles Turner. Miles Turner can shoot some threes. And Robert Williams, we have no freaking clue what this guy is. At least we know what this guy is. And you could say underachiever, but fine. I thought Brad Stevens could bring the most out of people.
And that's a legitimate...
But the Miles Turner love was through the roof last Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, I don't think
and
it was.
And then all of a sudden, you know, started leaking out because we needed to come up with an excuse why Danny didn't do it. And it turned into, you know, Danny Ainge, you know, why would he like Miles Turner? He's not a good player.
Oh, I think it's legit. I don't think they're crazy about Miles Turner. I think that part of it is legit. Because I think it sounds to me like they could have done that deal with Miles Turner. They didn't want Miles Turner. They didn't want McDermott either. So they didn't want the package that Indiana was going
to. I'd hate to have a guy off the bench shooting 43% from three. I mean, they don't need a guy off the bench to score. They don't need a rim protector either. They don't need either one of these two guys. I'm with you.
The problem is McDermott plays zero defense, and so that's pretty hard to incorporate into Brad's system.
Was Kyle Korver playing defense? I mean, how many minutes is this guy playing? He shoots the three off the bench, which is what you need, right?
He does. And that is it. That is all he does.
Fine.
He's a one-dimensional player.
Perfect.
And I think they require
a
little bit more defense.
Aaron Nesmith? What is he?
Yeah, I'm not ready for him to throw in the lineup. But I do think that this is the largest trade exception in the history of the NBA.
And everyone's celebrating it.
Yeah. Mm. No.
We got the biggest one ever.
Yeah. Woo-hoo!
Oh, boy.
The biggest one ever might be a stretch that you get that excited. I do think this gives Danny an awful lot of flexibility from an accounting standpoint, and they didn't have it. Let me go to John in a car. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Lou, as always, you're an idiot, and you're blowing things completely out of proportion. Like, one of the standard things that you can bet on happening every season in the NBA is some mid-level superstar is going to get bored of the team that he's on because they're terrible, and he's going to get bought out, and they're going to be a free agent. So do I rather want to spend all my ducats on Miles Turner, who I know Brian Barrett has sold the world on him being the second coming, but Miles Turner is average at best. So you're going to say all of a sudden he's going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread, so we might as well throw everything we've got into him.
Did he play Team USA? Yes, he played with Jalen, Jason, Kemba, and Marcus Smart as the center on Team USA at the FIBA World Cup.
So, Miles Turner was a starter on that team that your players were on? No,
oh, yes.
Yeah. Team USA?
So that, yes.
Oh, okay.
America's
gonna,
team.
That's
going
to put you over the that that puts you over the top to say, let's give him as much money as humanly possible. Like,
yes, still, or $18 million, whatever his contract says. But if you want to give him as much money as possible, go ahead.
I'd rather put that in my pocket and hope for and think that somebody better than Miles Turner is probably going to come down the road in the middle of the season. Like, I'm willing
legit.
To bet that that's going to happen.
Okay.
Like, that's a little bit more reasonable than that. And who do they draft?
We'll bet.
They just drafted Pritchard.
Oh!
They just drafted Nash. Pritchard.
There you go.
Who I'd fourth-year
senior.
See. Wait, okay, can you... Hear
like
me
25,
for a
he's like a Mormon.
As a shooter,
wait, did you say you'd rather see Pritchard on the bench than... Than McDermott?
As a shooter? You need somebody to hit a three? I'd rather put him out there than...
Are you kidding me, John?
That might be the most blasphemous statement I've ever heard in this
station. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. You'd rather have this four-year senior at wherever the hell he was at. Where was he at? Stanford?
Oregon.
Same thing.
No, it isn't.
6'2 point guard who can fill it. Awesome. Oh. Or a guy that's been in the league for 5 or 6 years and has already proven he can shoot 43% from three in the NBA. But no, stick to the college kid. Four-year senior. Who sticks around for 4 years in college?
Who? The ones that aren't any good.
Anyone?
Doug McDermott, by the way, 19th all-time in three-point shooting percentage.
Sucks,
in the
Tyler.
History of the NBA.
No, Pritchard. Pritchard, baby. He's a much better shooter than McDermott.
He's two spots on the leaderboard behind J.J. Redick, who is good at three-point shooting.
Jesus, I hate when Celtics fans call up and say, you're so stupid, and then sound so dumb and expose themselves.
The Pritchard thing was a little bit over the top, but he's right about the mid-level or slightly less than max contract guys who get antsy, want to get out of someplace, the team's sick of them, and they deal that player
away.
See.
I'll tell you what, I'll patiently wait.
That's the type of player they could get with this exception.
I'll patiently wait.
He's right about
that. Well, Danny Ainge goes and acquires somebody better than Miles Turner, a fit on this team, a rim protector, a big that can shoot threes. I'll patiently wait and see who that guy is.
All right, you get
and
some
I'm sure whatever Danny decides to do will be just great.
You got
it'll
some
be
more Celtic-
awesome, and it'll be the smart thing to do because it's Danny Ainge and it's the Celtics. Whee!
You got some more Celtic fans that want to beat you up. We'll do that coming up next. We'll talk about Tom Brady coming up shortly as well. What is happening to the Buccaneers?
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If you want to look at the worst week, theoretically, of Danny Ainge's career, you can make the case that it was last year where they lost two All-Stars in one offseason and Kyrie Irving, who we'd have to agree is a top 20 player in the NBA, and Al Horford, who was an All-Star, whether I know you didn't like him, but he was an All-Star player. So you lose two All-Stars, and you'd have to agree they got better after losing two All-Stars. We didn't think so, but they did. So you mean to tell me, Lou Maloney, that we lose a guy who started one game in the postseason, averaged 11 points, shot 40% from the field. You didn't say you weren't throwing him flowers at him on the radio. I know that. I listened to you. He's not a member of the core. He's not a top three guy in the Celtics. This is the worst week of Danny Ainge's career.
Michael Holly slapping our Lou Maloney silly right there.
Yeah, but he's so far off base. The worst week. Yeah, how many people, Michael, were you bitching that Kyrie Irving left? You were still upset that they traded Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving, if I remember correctly. Nobody was upset. Of course, with him leaving, everybody knew he was going to be good. And Gordon, and by what's his name, Al Horford leaving, Average Al? Like, obviously, I wasn't upset. By the way, that's how you got Kemba. That's why you got better, because you were able to get him. Now, let's see what Danny does with his trade exception. Okay? Let's wait and see. Okay, but the odds are, you know, he's not going to get Paul George with it or James Harden. You know, it's not going to happen. He's going to get a role player and probably end up spending half of it, and that's it.
He may get better than a role player with that. I mean, that's a lot of money, Lou. 28.5 million. You can't leave a lot of that.
You know what
that.
You needed? You needed a starting center. That's what you needed.
Well,
you know,
maybe,
you can spend that kind of money with.
And maybe they find that. Yeah. The problem with centers in the league is they have inflated salaries for really what they produce. They really do. And that's the problem. You overpay to get a center. Here's Mike in Connecticut. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, Mike.
So there's a few things I've learned over the last couple weeks that just like reading on the internet and listening to the sports radio. One, there's a lot of people that have absolutely no idea of how a salary cap works, the difference between restricted and unrestricted free agents, player options and team options. I also learned that, and maybe this is news to me, and I'm the idiot, but like I didn't know that Gordon Hayward was the next coming of Larry Bird, and losing him is going to absolutely demolish this franchise for the next 20 years. And I also didn't know that losing out on Miles Turner was losing out on the equivalent of prime Shaquille O'Neal. Like, holy Christ,
is
what is with people? Like, this is ridiculous. Miles Turner's he's a nice player, right? Doug McDermott, a nice player. But you have a guy coming in on a rookie contract starting this year who's probably just as good of a shooter, if not better, than the kid we got from Vanderbilt there.
You can laugh
all you want, Lou.
We don't know that.
You can laugh all you want. I know Doug McDermott, you know, Dougie McBuckets or whatever. The guy was supposed to, like, come in and light up the league, and he's been an absolute scrub other than, like, a few, you know, decent games here and there.
Other than shooting 43% from three.
Let's not act like it's Mark Price.
Yeah. Patriots drafted two tight ends. Don't worry about it. Patriots drafted two
tight ends. I don't care. Look I don't care about the Patriots, Lou.
Here's the thing. Let me ask you a question. Wait, Mike, please don't go anywhere, okay? Who replaces Gordon Hayward?
Right now on this team, you're probably...
Hello?
Probably, I'd say Marcus Smart.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Who replaces Marcus Smart then? What do you mean he replaces Gordon Hayward? How does a guy already in a team replace Gordon Hayward?
Because what you're doing is you're sliding Marcus Smart into a more primary role or a Hayward role.
The guy starts and plays like 35 minutes.
Lou, relax. Let me answer the damn question.
Well, it's a dumb response.
Don't get mad because baseball players aren't athletes. Jesus Christ.
Mm. Yes, that is it. Mike, stick to the point. Let me ask you. 33 minutes a game last year in 52 games. 33 minutes a game. He averaged 17 and a half, 7 boards, 4 assists. Who's doing that? Shemmy?
It's not going to be one guy. You don't have to have it beat by one guy. You have a better veteran point guard now. You take the ball out of Marcus Smart's hands. He could do what he primarily does, spot up in the corner, play, be the best defensive player in the league. All right? Now you have a guy in Tristan Thompson coming in who's a legitimate center. Don't start getting mad because people make you look bad about basketball all the time. Stick to baseball.
Mike, I tell you what, you people are actually making me look really smart at basketball. Like, seriously. Like, you Celtics fans, you call up and you try to rip me, but holy smokes, with every word you say, you make me look like the expert. You Celtics fans are so delusional.
That may be a stretch.
I don't know how you lose 33 minutes, and I don't love Gordon Hayward, but it's about who replaces him. It's kind of like, war, the replacement. You know, like who wins over the replacement? Gordon Hayward over Shemmy Ojeleye. Why do you want to help me out with that equation? Like, that's who your replacement is right now. Danny better get somebody to replace that spot he's got in the wing. He's got a huge hole there right now. Huge hole.
They're not as good.
Please call him up and make myself feel good about basketball. This is awesome.
Well, don't get carried away. They're not as good as they were before because Hayward is a good player. Now, is he worth $34 million? No. Is he worth what Charlotte paid for him? No. Might be one of the worst deals I've ever seen before. So the question is...
Oh, he's going to end up being an all-star there.
No, he's going to
be
an all-star. Sure.
He probably will.
Sure
he's going to be. He's going to be. He's basically
he'll put up numbers.
He's Kemba Walker is who he is now. Glenn, he's going to be the
help
main
me out.
Guy,
Marcus Smart,
most important guy.
Marcus Smart replaces Gordon Hayward.
No,
help me out with that
he,
discussion.
He
make that argument.
He can't
please.
Make up the offense. I can't argue that point. He can't make up the offense. He
can't make up the minutes. He plays 35 with him.
Right.
Like, it's about minutes. What are
we know
doing?
We know what Marcus Smart is. We've seen enough of Marcus Smart. If anything, you don't want Marcus most nights continuing to take an awful lot of shots. Right, exactly. You don't want him to have a bigger part of your offense. You want him to have a bigger part of your defense, and I think his playmaking ability is pretty good. This is James. He's in New Bedford. Go ahead, James.
Hey, guys. Love listening to you guys. You guys were knocking him a little bit, bringing up about Robert Williams. The guy's young. The kid is young, but he has a spot to this team, and he's done pretty well when he was given the opportunity. Considering it's his second year, I think he has a lot of upswing going forward, and it's yet to be seen.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you guys – I caught the back end of your conversation earlier, so I just wanted to, like, bring that – I don't know if you guys were talking highly of him or not, but
– No, we were talking about Miles Turner and the fact that – I think they look at the Time Lord for a guy that could do some of the stuff that he does, and they think, apparently, because they like him, they think he's got real upside. Williams, the problem with me is he's so sporadic, and when they play him, you really can't figure it out. You can't tell whether he's got that ability to take it to the next level. I mean, he's playing in certain series, and other series, they sit and they protect him.
No, I think he's got upside. But I said before, if that's like they're going to rely on him, now they've added Tristan Thompson. But I just think this team can be too good to rely on hoping Robert Williams kind of takes his game to another level. That's all. Like we saw some of the issues he had. Number one, he's got to stay healthy. That's one of the biggest things for him. He's always banged up. He's always hurt. But, yeah, there's a lot of potential there. I mean, he can just sit around and wait for it, and if it doesn't happen, then what? Then what do you do?
So the only thing I saw that got better...
I don't know if he can play.
The only thing I saw got better in the last year is his hands around the rim. And so they could lob it up to him, alley-oop, stuff like that. He was able to score doing that.
Tyler, what
do
you got? I'm sorry.
Oh, I have some bad news for Celtics fans.
What do you mean?
The Dallas Mavericks were the team before the Celtics with the largest trade exception in NBA history.
What was that?
Happened in February 2019. It expired in February 2020 this year. The only two players out of that $21 million the Mavs were able to acquire with that trade exception, DeLon Wright and Willie Cauley-Stein.
Let's go Celtics.
There'll be no apology if that's what he gets back.
All you're doing is just prolonging the inevitable. So you don't drown right away. You're just kicking the can down the road a little bit longer. That's all you're doing.
And there's nothing.
It's a good way.
It's going to be an anchor.
Christian, you're so right. And there's nothing better that Celtics fans like more than being strung along.
They love it. They love hope. But they
do.
Their whole existence
like
is based on what can be.
Yeah.
And Danny's revolves around Danny doing the right thing.
Danny's going to trade three first-round picks and move up and get three and get Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
No, he's going to move up. He's going to get James Harden. He's going to move up in the picks and he's going to do that. No, he's going to get a haul for Gordon Hayward in the sign and trade. Like, it's all about hope.
Why are you trying to destroy
and
they just
the
holiday
get their balls
season.
Kicked
why,
in all
why,
the time.
Why
and just
are you
take
trying
it.
To
they
destroy
just
Celtics fans?
They love it. They like the pain.
They just the Celtics are the balls.
Yeah.
The balls. Well, look at Golden State. Golden State used a trade exception. They lost Klay Thompson to a major injury, and they were able to go out and sign Kelly Oubre.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there you go. They used that trade exception to be able to do it. I think you guys are
throwing
this. Don't
you put him over the top?
Well, it helps.
But they gave up a first-round pick to get him, though.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to give something up. You always do that. That's, you know, you're going to give something up in return.
Oh, it's not just free?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I thought Celtics was telling me it's
free.
No.
Danny's giving away first-round draft picks.
Oh, really?
With the trade exception to get something, yeah. So the days of drafting, what's the Pritchard kid's first name? I can't even remember.
Peyton. You better get to know his name.
Yeah.
He's about to rock. Peyton,
those days are probably over. All right, 617-779-7937. What the hell is happening to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Did you watch that yesterday? We'll get to it coming up next.
By the way, Pittsburgh bitching all the time about the COVID. Did they? Hey,
all right.
How you doing, guys?
That guy
doing two shows at one time.
Bitching about the COVID.
Yeah, talking about the COVID. This from Adam Schefter. The NFL is now pondering a third postponement of the Ravens-Steelers game to later this week, per league source. Game already has been moved from Thanksgiving to Sunday to Tuesday, and now could be on the move again.
What does that mean? Is it still Week 12 if you move it to Thursday? Wednesday?
Like 12.5 or something like
that. Maybe you play on Wednesday?
Yeah.
And then now Pittsburgh's got a short week so they can come back and play next Sunday?
Yeah but isn't there isn't this like a bottleneck like effect happening right now?
Yeah, it's a mess. I don't know if you've seen it lately.
I don't know.
It's a mess.
Listen, if they end up, I mean, what is the day of no return? So Tuesday, Wednesday? Could they legitimately play a game on Wednesday, play again on Sunday? What happened to, you know, this whole competitive balance? What about safety for the players?
Again,
that's
no
unrealistic, and it's not going to happen.
By the way, good news, bad news for the Ravens. Four more players were added to their reserve COVID list, but four were also removed.
Right, so they're getting guys back.
But they lost four more.
Well, I know, but at least they're getting some people back from like the early rounds.
They currently
have
19 on the list right now. 19 players on the
this
list.
This is weird because, okay, if they're pondering moving it again. Listen, if they move it, they can't move it past Tuesday, guys. They can't move it past Tuesday.
Why not?
This is when the NFLPA gets involved. I'm sure he is saying that, but Wednesday is ridiculous. You're not going to play a game on Wednesday and then turn around and play a game on Sunday.
So the Cowboys-Ravens game, that was actually supposed to be this Thursday.
Correct.
That was supposed to be Thursday night football this week, Cowboys Ravens.
And they don't have a Thursday night game this week.
Right. So they, yes.
Well, they're going to move this Thursday night.
The thing. So they already moved the Cowboys Ravens game to Monday.
Yep.
But you can't play Thursday
and Monday.
And then Monday.
No, you move it to Tuesday.
But now Pittsburgh, Washington, maybe you have a doubleheader on Tuesday of, you know, Cowboys Ravens, Pittsburgh and Washington on Tuesday. And play these guys Thursday night because there's no game.
Well, okay, so just looking at the Ravens, so if they're going to already move that game to that Cowboys game to Monday,
I already have.
You can legitimately move that to Tuesday and then give them more time because I feel like if they just keep pushing all the other games, if they have room for that, they'll keep doing it. So they basically could push it back a little bit if they're willing to make sure that Ravens-Cowboy games could possibly be played on a Tuesday. then you got room, because I feel like you just need room. They're running out of time. They're running out of days to actually push it back. So and I don't even know what the next game is for the Ravens. So what is it after that? I think they have because their last three games are what, the Jags, the Giants, and the Bengals. So then you would have to move that Jags game, that Giants game, and the Bengals game. So all these games are going to be moved down the line.
So this was Jeff Zrebiak, who covers the Ravens on The Athletic. One option considered for the Ravens Steelers is being pushed to Wednesday night. It would give one more day due to make sure COVID-19 outbreak with Ravens is under control, give them a day to practice. And it says, in that case, I'd imagine the Steelers-Washington game set for Sunday would be moved to Monday night. Ravens-Cowboys already Monday. But then he says, so I don't know, I guess. And then this from Pro Football Talk. Per source, there's new fears of Ravens players refusing to play tomorrow night.
That's the other one.
Which would technically be a wildcat strike. Could create major issues between NFL and NFLPA if it happens. Potentially could jeopardize the balance of the season. So,
see, okay, so here's the thing. If they're refusing, so the Broncos didn't refuse to play, and they had every recourse, except they're the reason themselves that they don't have quarterback because the quarterbacks weren't wearing masks. So who's to blame in the Ravens situation? If they're the reason that they're under this COVID protocol in the first place, then how in the hell could they sit there and say, we're not playing? Like, and they've already found all these teams guilty of some sort of infraction. Right. They find the Saints. They took money away from them. They find the Raiders. They find the Tennessee Titans. They took $350,000 away from the Patriots after they already said that they were compliant. They didn't do anything wrong. So what do you think is going to happen for the Ravens? I kind of like the move, to be honest with you, because what they're going to be fighting about is rest. They're not going to let the league play them on a Tuesday and then run back and then play them on a Thursday. Or they're not going to, like, as long as they give them enough days to rest and recover, they won't have a problem with it. They won't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're going to care that much. I hate to say it about the players.
Who, the NFL?
Rest. Yeah, I know. The Players Association might bitch, but I think Lou hit on it. We have an opening on Thursday night. They like Thursday night football. There's an opening. And Schefter's saying they're pondering a third postponement to move it off of Tuesday. Where would they move it? And move it to Thursday.
Well, yeah,
night.
The guy covering the Ravens said possibly Wednesday, but I agree. There is an opening Thursday. I think people would love to see that as a prime time game. But then now you start talking about, okay, what does that do for week 13? Okay, because you don't play Thursday night and come back and play Sunday. You don't come back and play Monday, do you?
They move that to Tuesday next week. That's what they do, right?
See, this is
both
this
games, is, both is, teams.
This is part of the COVID outbreak that allows the Patriots to get back into the playoff hunt. See, imagine, so you would look at the Ravens schedule. Hold on, just wait a second. If you look at the Ravens schedule, you look at those last three games, they look pretty easy. But based on the bottleneck of injuries, COVID, no practice, no nothing, and let's not act like the Ravens weren't kind of scuffling to begin with. The fact that they lost to the Patriots, they lost to the Tennessee Titans, teams are already starting to figure them out. Now you can't practice at all. Now Lamar Jackson is going to run out there cold, trying to make plays that he was making 6 weeks ago, yet he has no practice time.
So this is Jonas Schaefer, who covers the Ravens.
Baltimore Sun.
Yeah. Talking about the following up on the Pro Football Talk, how the players are pissed. He said, I heard from a group of Ravens unhappy about having to play on Tuesday, given how everything's been handled. One source told me the NFL had offered Wednesday as a compromise, but players want Thursday. No consensus has been reached. But they're upset given how everything's been handled. I think the league's upset with how you handled it as a team and how it broke out in the first place on your team. Right? I mean,
yeah, it's a complete mess.
They're the ones that screwed this thing up. They're the ones that had a strength coach walking around with no mask and pretty much giving it to everybody.
Yeah.
So, but I'd be curious if they'd play on Thursday night to be able to. That's still week 12? I'm just speaking
for
fantasy
them.
Owners.
Yeah, I don't.
Fantasy football owners.
Week 12, week 13. I don't know how you do it.
Well, they're not going to let them forfeit. They're not going to, because there's two things. One, they want the game.
Yep.
They want it on TV. Two, the players want to get paid.
Right.
Because if they forfeit, now the Ravens have to forfeit and the Steelers did nothing wrong. Why should they be punished?
Yeah.
Why should they lose their money? That's the other angle to this whole thing about this, how the league wants to make sure all the games get played.
And,
regardless of when they get and when they get to play it.
And this from Graziano, Dan Graziano. Today's round of Ravens tests produced no new positives.
Well, there you go.
That would impact Tuesday's game. He said there was one new positive, but it's an IR player who hasn't been in close contact with anyone.
There you go.
So the NFL has given the Ravens the option to fly to Pittsburgh tomorrow following more tests. The day of the game? Again, here we are. Patriots did it, right? What are you going to do, bitch? Hey, Patriots flew day of the game. You know, you got no new positives. Playing on Tuesday.
All right, so let's get to Brady. They're 7-5 now, the Tampa Bay Bucks, after the loss to Kansas City yesterday. Kansas City, by the way, one of those teams that can go on a run and just dominate offensively. That first quarter was frightening. Tyreek Hill had, what, over 200 yards in the first quarter alone. So they can do that, and then they kind of sit back and say, okay, we get the game under control, and we're good. And so Tampa Bay got back into the game, but they end up losing it by a field goal. So Brady goes on after the game for only 2.5 minutes. We've talked a lot about the relationship with Brady and Bruce Arians. Listen to this question and answer.
Hey, Tom, as you guys head to your bye week, there's been some folks that have had some chatter about, you know, you still look like you're running someone else's offense. One of your former teammates even said on TV that he thinks that you need a new head coach. What do you make of all that noise?
No, it's just the external noise that when you're losing, you know, that's what you deal with. So, I love playing for the guys that I play with, the coaches, the whole organization's been unbelievable. And I think we just got to go out, and I certainly have to do a better job the last 4 weeks of the year. So, appreciate it. Just have a good week.
See ya. Goodbye.
That's it. Bye-bye.
That's it. I'm done. There was some strange stuff in that game yesterday. Brady threw another one of those stupid picks, like he just threw it away like he did last week. And then you had that conversation, the close-up with him and Mike Evans, and Evans is not even looking at him as he's sitting on the bench. It's just not pretty right now with him and with Bruce Arians.
I'll say
in
this
though, system. It's not pretty.
I agree. It's not pretty. But it's not as ugly as everybody says either. It's really not. Well,
because they're talented. They're
I understand
loaded with
that,
talent.
But you just lost to Kansas City 27-24. He was 27 for 41, 345 yards, 3 touchdowns, threw 2 picks. One of them went off a guy's helmet.
Yes.
You know, and you talk about that first quarter, first half. I would look at Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator, and say, hey, how long you been in this freaking league? How long you been watching Kansas City Chiefs? How long have you been watching the fact that you can't play Tyreek Hill man-on-man? Like, leave somebody on an island to cover Tyreek Hill. He did it for the entire first quarter, and the guy got 200 yards.
Yeah, they're blitzing like, Mahomes,
like,
too.
Like, man-to-man, one-on-one coverage, Tyreek Hill. You can't do that. Like, what film was this guy watching all week long to think, hey, I got an idea. Let's take one of our corners and leave him on an island to cover Tyreek Hill. Has that ever worked? Because that's what it looks like when you try it. And then afterwards, they actually started paying attention to him. And that offense didn't look like it did all game long, right? It was amazing.
Yeah, but
amazing. One-on-one.
You're right. So, like, they've been in all these games. They're really only blown out that one time. Really, well, the two ones, with the both times when they played the Saints. And each time, it was just, guys are just off. And I don't know how long. I think people just expect everything to look like a Super Bowl come-from-behind victory. And everything's so easy. I think people forget how many unbelievably huge plays Tom Brady had to make and how many great calls Bill made. Like it goes hand in hand. Like, coaching is important. Intimidation is important. You know, studying and the tendencies make a difference. And I don't know if he's getting that from him. I don't know. The relationship, I don't think, is as fractured as people think.
I think
the criticism and the doubt that people have is starting to get to them. You can tell by the way they talk. They're all frustrated with it. They're all irritated about it, and they're sick of answering it. They want anything to do with it.
Listen, there was great anticipation for this season down there in Tampa Bay. They're even starting to turn on the team in Tampa Bay locally. Everybody thought they were going to be a 12-win team. Well, they're 7-5, and they're showing struggles. And as Lou just pointed out, defensively, they're now showing some breakage. So they got all sorts of issues. Are they a playoff team? Yeah, they're a playoff team. Are they going to probably go deep in the playoffs? I'll
say this. In 3 weeks, we'll be talking about Tampa Bay is the most dangerous team in the NFC.
Okay, we'll see.
They got a bye week this week. When you look at their schedule, they got the Falcons a couple times. You know, their schedule's not that difficult here down the stretch. So in 3 weeks, after two or three more W's, the most dangerous team in the NFC would be Tampa Bay. I tell you, people just are losing their ever-loving minds with this football team. They really are. Like, there's just overreaction left and right. Like, you would have thought, like, seriously, they lost 27-24. You would have thought they lost this game 50-3 with the way people are reacting to
it. Well, that's what it felt like in the beginning. For the
first half, it looked like they were out of it.
The Bucs did chip away at it and make it close. They scored late. I mean, it was a late score, and with like, and then the Chiefs got the ball back with like a minute something left, and they did have an opportunity.
It was 20-10 in the third quarter.
They couldn't.
I'm just, you know what I mean? I mean, what's not that outrageous?
Yeah, but they couldn't do. No, I'm not saying that it was, but it felt a lot worse because it felt
because
like
of the
they
first
couldn't
quarter.
Do anything. Yeah, because they had just, and you thought that the Chiefs would continue to have that type of success. But to your point, they kind of realized that one guy shouldn't cover Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
And he had like a career game in like the first quarter.
Yeah, but do you notice Kansas City does this, though? And we saw it with the Patriots. They go on a run. They're able to score just like that. And then they kind of sit back and think the game is over. And for some stupid reason, they do dumb things. Even Mahomes, at that second pick he threw was an awful pick.
Yeah, I'm not backing off. I mean, this is even a better case for Tom to get comeback player of the year. For what he's doing. Well, I mean,
man of the year.
Because you think of 7-5, you're like, wow, that's just a look at the teams that they lost to. Lost to the Saints twice, which they're the, you know, arguably record wise if the playoffs start today, they'd be your number one seed going in. They lost to the Saints twice. They lost to Chicago on a crap play. They just lost to the Chiefs. We're talking about the best teams in the NFL, and then they had one stinker. So. I'm still not.
First off,
you
got to give up hope on the comeback player. You can't get comeback player of the year yep. when you quarterback the team that was 12-4 the year before. Like, and you know, it wasn't Tom Brady-esque, but you can't be comeback player
Everybody's
of the year.
Everybody's counting them out.
No,
the comeback of the year
might be Gronk. Gronk is a better choice for you. But the guy played every game on a 12-4 team.
Nope.
Maybe because it didn't look pretty, can't give you a comeback.
You got to get all five of them. You got to get man of the year, comeback player of the year, league MVP, valuable player. He's got to win the Super Bowl.
I think he's right. I think when you come back from the Masked Singer, I think you get a better shot at comeback player of the year than you do from a team that was 12-4. Uh-huh. I think you get a better shot there. I don't think Tom Brady's going to win any of those awards. I'm sorry to ruin your day, Christian. I don't think he's winning any of these awards. The question is, can he do something in the postseason? And I still think there's a disconnect between him and
Bruce
Arians.
You guys want some breaking news?
Give it to me.
Do I get some sound effects? No? Damn it. All right, so this is for Mike Reese per Field Yates. We just talked to Bill about Julian Edelman, but it had more to do with his injury and would he be coming back. The Patriots have placed wide receiver Julian Edelman on the COVID-19 list.
Ooh, dude.
So.
Now, he hasn't been. He actually has been practicing, hasn't he?
He has been around there.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's COVID list. Now, what's the distinction between, like, you know, close contact, like off the field, someone who has it, or actually has COVID, right? Like, they don't really give you that. They just say he's on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't usually announce it if you actually test positive. The media breaks that. But if you're on the COVID list and they announce it, it's usually you came into contact with somebody. So, Christian, remember you were talking earlier and saying that all these teams are going to go down with COVID and the Patriots are going to sneak out of the playoffs? What if the Patriots are one of those teams that all get hit by the COVID?
Well, I left them out because it already kind of happened to them.
So it can't. Come
Can't
around the second.
To them.
Oh, we get the second wave and the third wave. Isn't that what Dr. Fauci tells us?
Yeah, if
third
that happens, wave, then that
fourth
that theory
wave
throws out the window.
Fifth
Who's
wave.
More talented than Christian Ford?
Yeah. Exactly. This hour brought to you by Feldman Surveyors. Coming up in the final hour of this very program, you will hear Bill Belichick. If you missed it, from hour number one.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.